Ready for the show? I'm ready to start.
10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11. Tower clear.
There. Good evening and good morning or good afternoon, wherever you're listening from. This is your host speaking, Martin Horst from ET First Contact Radio. And today I have a very interesting guest. His name is Michael Murphy, and he is the creator of the famous, in the meantime, famous movie, What in the World Are They Spraying? Welcome, Michael.
Oh, Martin, thank you for having me on, and thanks for covering this issue. It's very important to those of us who have become aware of it and realize the potential for these programs, and really the potential that we all have to get them stopped. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes. You know, it's interesting because there are many people worldwide that are conscious of chemtrails. And I just spoke to a guy at a meeting today, and he, in fact, won a court in a courtroom a couple of years ago, and the judge agreed that chemtrails should be stopped, but nothing changed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a court at the very, very high level in The Hague?
It's the issue of geoengineering, also called chemtrails, is finally starting to get attention. Now we have ordinances in certain parts of the world that are being established to ban these programs, and we have some lawsuits that are starting. So it's a great time in the movement. Unfortunately, though, what we've uncovered in the new film, Why in the World Are They Spraying? You can find more info at whyintheworldarethespraying.com. The devastating effects of these programs are really, really destroying our planet. So it's an obligation that we have, you know, those of us who are aware of this, to get them stopped.
Yes, and how is it possible that we can take legal action via the official ways, via court or other ways? Can we accomplish something with this?
Well, absolutely. You know, any time that we address these programs, any time that we bring more light to these programs, then we have more power. And the first film, What in the World Are They Spraying, was estimated to have woken up over 10 million people. It was largely unknown before we addressed that film. So as a result, we now have people who, as you stated, are beginning to wake up, and the new film, Why in the World Are They Spraying, has had fantastic reviews. We're expecting it to have a lot, much more coverage than the first film. But in the first film, what we really covered was geoengineers' plans and proposals to spray 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum oxide and other heavy metals into our sky for the stated goal of cooling our planet. Geoengineers state that putting a blanket of reflective material, which is aluminum, would reflect sunlight and therefore actually cool the planet. And we found some studies which indicate that that is true. During the day, the metal particulates will reflect sunlight regionally, but at night they actually act as a blanket and they will trap heat. So we have seen a dramatic increase of nighttime highs in the past 10 to 15 years since these programs have really been ramped up. So the question that many people were asking was, why is this happening? It definitely has nothing to do with cooling the planet, but what we found, it does enable certain corporations and certain individuals to consolidate an enormous amount of both monetary and political power into the hands of a few at the expense of every living thing on the planet. And with the first film, as you noticed, we really investigated the human health and ecological implications, which are just devastating our planet.
Mm-hmm. Does this also have to do with the dumping down of our consciousness?
Well, I think any time you breathe in heavy metals, and human health implications of aluminum alone are just devastating. Aluminum is accumulative, and in the past 10 years, we've seen an incredible increase in aluminum-related illnesses, and stating the dumbing down. Alzheimer's and dementia is a consequence of aluminum toxicity. We interviewed Dr. Born, who is a physician who specializes specifically in aluminum toxicity. So we now have documented cases of people in their 40s that have Alzheimer's and dementia, so it's certainly a part of that. We're breathing this in on a daily basis, and while we found the primary ingredients of geoengineering programs, which are aluminum, barium, and strontium, in rain tests from around the world, they're now coming in, these metals match a number of geoengineering patents that were devices actually designed to specifically spray these metals from airplanes for the stated goal of geoengineering programs. They match what geoengineers state they urgently want to do. They're calling now for emergency legislation to start these illegal programs and make them legal. And what we see in the sky on a daily basis, these long white trails that do not dissipate, they actually spread out, block the sun, is a stated goal of geoengineers. And we now have an issue which is called global dimming. The Earth is receiving just 20% of the sunlight that it did a couple of decades ago. And again, that's stated goal of geoengineering programs. So after these metals are sprayed into the sky, of course, they come down, they get into our soils, which we'll talk about, which leads into some of the consequences. But we do inhale them.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes, and how can they get away with this? I mean, if the people that are responsible for this program will ever be arrested, how will the consequences be?
Well, you know, it depends on how quickly we want to wake people up. And again, the devastating effects are just unquantifiable. We spoke about the primary ingredients of geoengineering programs being found in rain tests around the world. Well, people now are starting to get blood tests, and they're finding the same materials, the aluminum, the barium, the strontium. We spoke about some of the consequences of aluminum. Barium lowers our immune system, which leads to a number of other illnesses. And during heavy spray days, you know, the real heavy spray days where people experience headache, burning eyes, irritability, nausea, those are the days when emergency room physicians have told me they expect to see their emergency rooms literally packed. And one consequence of barium toxicity is also high blood pressure. So during heavy spray days, the physicians told me they expect to see an increase in strokes and heart attacks. So there are many things that we can do, and I hope that we get to it, you know, in the interview, but the next film, really, because of the human health implications, a lot of people were asking, how could people literally do this? You know, what would be the purpose of this? And if certainly if they're trying to save the planet from some threat of global warming, they would have to look at the implications. And geoengineers are very open about the implications of geoengineering programs, which, by the way, are all happening. Ozone depletion is one of the consequences of spraying any material into our atmosphere. We now have a major ozone hole over the northern hemisphere. Disrupted weather patterns, droughts in certain areas, floods in other areas, we have those. Other consequences would be drought conditions. Overall, we now have, if you look at the global drought monitor, we have global drought. Most areas are in drought. pH changes of our soil. We have soil pH changes changing around the world. These metals, when they get into our rain and fall into our soil, they will change the pH of our soil, which leads to forest deaths and deaths of natural organic food. So you state, how can they get away with it? Well, these programs now, people are just starting to wake up, and that's one of the reasons why I produced both films. It was to create a consciousness and awareness of what's going on, because largely people were completely unaware of what was happening right above them.
Yes, so what is the name of the second film that you're working on?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the name is Why in the World Are They Spraying? And you can see the trailer at whyintheworldarethespraying.com. And we released the film less than 3 weeks ago. It's literally been a sensation. It's had incredible reviews. And after the first film, you know, we conclusively proved that, A, that these programs have been implemented, and then, B, that they were a major threat to both human health and ecology. So the real question and the next question that often was asked was why? Why would they be doing these programs? And, of course, geoengineers state that their programs are to mitigate global warming, again, by putting a blanket of metals into our sky or reflect sun. But, again, it actually warms the planet because those metals act as a blanket. And I can discuss how those aerosols relate into what some of the true agendas are of the programs, if you'd like me to.
Yeah, sure, go into it. It's, because that's very interesting. I also always investigate as a journalist into the reasons why things are happening. So the reasons behind, and that are most of the time not expected. So please go into that.
Absolutely. And geoengineers now are selling these programs to the public. And again, they're having conferences now and stating that they are to mitigate global warming. And if we look at the primary ingredients, aluminum oxide is what geoengineers are selling. And they state aluminum is very reflective and it's very lightweight, and that's why it would be a very good metal to put up in our sky. What we had found was aluminum is also a very effective conductor in our sky, and most people have noticed in areas around the world that we're seeing more lightning strikes. That's because we have heavy metals and aluminum in our sky. Anyways, what we had started to notice was about 500 to 2,000 miles ahead of a storm, there would be really heavy, intense trailing. So I contacted former television weatherman Scott Stevens. He was a weatherman for 20 years. And I went out and I interviewed him, and I learned the basic science about how aerosols were related to weather control. And he stated that aerosols were required to be in our sky for these corporations to modify and to control our weather. So the science is real basic, and I also went to an aerosol research conference and learned the same thing, that putting aerosols into the sky will change weather, and it also geoengineering programs could be used to corporatize our weather. So what we learned was, again, the primary ingredient, which now is being found in thousands of times above what would be considered normal, is aluminum, and it's a very effective conductor in our sky. So by putting a blanket of aluminum into our sky, these corporations, through the use of the HAARP program or other technology, they have the ability to heat up the atmosphere, kind of like putting a cup of coffee in your microwave. When you put an energy to it, it will interact with the water molecules and actually heat it up, and that's what they're doing to our sky. And when an atmosphere heats, it actually rises. And in that rising, it creates a low-pressure vacuum and enables certain corporations to literally steer storms into certain regions. In the case of the United States this summer, they're actually steering storms out of these regions and creating drought. And the other part of the technology is very simple. Geoengineers talk about their programs creating drought. The reason it does is these particulates act as cloud condensation nuclei. So normal evaporation and normal cloud formation happens when the sun hits hits water. Water evaporates. Water molecules get into the sky. They condense, eventually forming clouds and then falling as rain. When these particulates are introduced into the sky, instead of the water condensing on other water molecules, they'll actually condense on this metal particulate. And instead of falling, it will drift. And one of the reasons in California why we have drought is because, again, the rain that should be falling here stays on to the metal particulate. It drifts over what we call the continental divide, and then it gets into the middle of the country where it eventually falls. And that's the reason that we're having intense flooding in the Midwest and on the East Coast. What we're having this summer, this is definitely an engineered drought. We didn't have too many visible trails above land, so we started looking at satellite, and what we found was that the entire Pacific, all the way from the equator up to Alaska, was completely covered with aerosols. And again, what that's doing is preventing the normal evaporation that should be occurring of the water to form clouds and eventually form rain. So without that evaporation occurring, we're not getting the rain that we should be getting. I was actually in the middle of the country for a couple of weeks, and it's an intense drought. We're losing all of our crops in that area. And when rain was in the forecast, I noticed big, beautiful thunderheads developing. We thought storm and rain was coming. But then, boom, the airplanes would come, and they would literally put a canopy of aerosol above that storm. And within about a half an hour to 45 minutes, the storm would fall apart. It would literally flatten out, and that moisture, instead of falling, would drift. And that's why this year we're seeing major drought in the United States, but in Europe we're getting massive flooding because United mm-hmm. States rain is drifting over the Atlantic Ocean into Europe. So again, deeply concerning just from the rain standpoint, but what it's doing, it's destroying our crops, and we found out that there were certain corporations that really benefit from this.
That's amazing. And why would they benefit from this, and what are the reasons behind that?
Right, well, that's a great question. And if you look at weather control, weather modification, the militaries have been interested in it for a very long time. Actually, corporations and individuals found out that you could control the weather by adding a particulate into the atmosphere, and you could change where rain falls or where it doesn't fall. But militaries have been interested in this technology for a very long time, and there's actually a military document which is called Owning the Weather by 2025, and we cover this in the new film, Why in the World Are They Spraying? That's an expressed interest of the U.S. government. And in that document, it talks about how through the use of weather control, it could give certain militaries a strategic advantage in the battlefield. So the idea of Owning the Weather by 2025 is if you can create certain weather disruptions in certain regions where to literally paralyze your enemy, you can have a strategic advantage. And I remember before the United States went in to invade Iraq, I remember there were intense sandstorms that literally crippled the Iraqi army. And I remember somebody had said to me, they said, you know, God must really be on the side of the U.S. because he's created sandstorms. That's really benefiting the U.S. and it's really hurting the Iraqis. And now knowing that weather is controllable and militaries have been using this technology, I kind of feel foolish the way that I reacted. But weather control is probably perfected back in the 60s. It was actually used in the Vietnam War in a project called Project Popeye. And the United States government actually flooded out the Ho Chi Minh Trail with, I believe, 13 feet of rain in less than an hour by putting particulate into those sky. So again, it's used, it's an interest in the military for that stated purpose. But we also found that there were some monetary reasons behind this. And in our research, we found that that weather was being traded on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Were you aware of that?
The exchange of where on the market?
Yes, weather
are
is traded.
Serious?
Yes. And these are called weather derivatives, and certain corporations have an interest in these weather derivatives because they will offset their risk. Insurance companies, heating companies, energy companies, let's say if an energy company depends on, in the wintertime, X number of days being below 30 degrees, and it's a particularly warm winter, what they will do is, through the use of these derivatives, essentially either hedge the risk or bet on adverse weather conditions. And Michael Agnew, who is a trader...
That's really shocking for me. That's really shocking.
It was mind-blowing to a lot of people who have seen the new film, and that's why it's been such a success, because it literally shows the reasons and the monetary reasons and the political reasons behind these programs. And Mike used an example of a seed company that had $10 million, or I think he said it was $5 million worth of crops in the Midwest. But this company insured their crop for $10 million. So through drought, and if they actually have more incentive for the crop to fail if they insure it for more amount of money. And that's what's happening this summer, and largely people believe that our weather is not predictable in the long term, and that is without a doubt now the furthest thing from the truth. Certain corporations, certain individuals who are in the know and have the playbook can predict the weather, and they can bet on this. So if you have the playbook and you know what the weather is going to be, you can make billions of dollars annually just on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. And this summer's drought, while it's devastating many farmers, certain individuals are making billions and billions of dollars. We have seen over a 70% failure in our corn here in the U.S., and that is skyrocketing prices. So you can only imagine the people who invested in that corn and in the other commodities who were able to predict this drought. They're literally, again, making billions of dollars.
That's really shocking. I mean, I have no words for it, but they really do not have any respect for life, do they have any conscience? I mean, are they humans or what are they?
Well, it goes beyond, you know, it's actually an attack on life, and it's an attack on land. And in this summer, due to weather conditions, a lot of farmers are forced to go out of business. And we'll get into the life thing. I know you want to get into that, so we'll talk about that in a minute. But what we're seeing is when farmers are going out of business due to this adverse weather conditions, they have two choices. They can either sell their land, and now we have a company owned by George Soros who is coming in and literally buying farmland on pennies on the dollar. And if you're familiar of Agenda 21 objectives, which wants to control every natural resource and literally get people off of their land and pack tight into cities, weather control is a very effective tool for that. So the chemtrail geoengineering programs are directly related to it. But what we had really found, and why in the world are they spraying, and again, you can see the trailer, and whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com, we met with Barb Peterson of FarmWars, and she explained to us what was happening to the crops. And crops are failing around the world, and we have forests which are dying And we didn't cover too much of the environmental implications, but heavy metals are very toxic to soils. And geoengineering programs, the primary ingredients, which are aluminum, barium, strontium, and other heavy metals, they change the pH of soil. So as a result, we see forests starting to die, and now we have major crop loss of natural organic foods. And why in the world are they spraying? We interviewed several farmers, and we included two of them in the film. One of them had seen a 60% decline in their ability to grow natural organic foods, and the other had seen a 70% decline, and this is in a 10-year period. What Barb had spoken to us about was an issue called abiotic stress, and the EPA is estimating by 2030 we will see a 50% increase in abiotic stress, which destroys crops. What is abiotic stress? Abiotic stress is everything that the chemtrail geoengineering programs create. It's the drought conditions. It's the heavy metal contamination. It's too much moisture, and it's fungal overgrowth. And because geoengineering programs block our sun, it proliferates fungal growth, which destroys crops. What we had learned is there's a solution to this, and that is Monsanto. Monsanto owns a patent to an abiotic stress-resistant seed, which is everything from apples to zucchini. So through the death and destruction of our forests, there's actually a company now, it's a spinoff of Monsanto, that is genetically modifying our forests. So through the death and destruction of our ability to grow natural organic foods, we have these disaster capitalists who are genetically modifying everything. And one thing that we covered in the film, Africa is the target area of Monsanto. They have stated their goals of going in and completely corporatizing the food supply in Africa. One thing I didn't mention, many of these seeds are what are called terminator seeds. So historically, a farmer has planted their seeds, and during harvest, they keep a certain percentage of their seeds, which they're able to use for the following season and plant and get a crop. Well, these seeds do not reproduce, many of these genetically modified seeds. So it literally puts the farmer in bondage, and they have to go back to the seed company year after year after year. But anyways, our president here in the United States, President Obama, has opened the door essentially for Monsanto to go into Africa and corporatize their food supply over there. Remarkably, geoengineers state that their programs will create droughts in both Africa and Asia. So, again, through death and destruction, they gain a tremendous amount of power. And you had asked, you know, this is an attack on life, and it absolutely is. You know, it's an issue which has been discussed in every major prophecy. It talks about this big, huge system building up, this corporate governmental conglomerate, which I call the beast, that wants to be worshipped. And if we look at, you know, our ancestors, they used to pray to the Creator, to our living God, for rain and for good harvest. And now, through the death and destruction and through the genetic modification of our crops, this system is literally usurping the authority of God and or the authority of nature and bringing it under corporate authority, which is controlled by these entities. And geoengineer David Keith made a statement. He said that geoengineering gives man godlike power, and this is what he was talking about, I believe.
Yes, and I think that those individuals, that when they see that they can not only modify the weather, but they can also win money on that on the stock markets, I think they feel like gods, like they are undestroyable, because they earn so much money.
Well, it's about money, but it goes deeper than money, because once if we allow, which we will not, this to continue, they will have complete control of every natural system on the planet. And we still have the ability to grow natural foods. I live on an organic farm most of the time in Maui, where we live off of natural seeds, sunshine, and rain. But again, we've seen a tremendous decline in our ability to grow food. So our concerns are this, that if the programs continue, we will completely lose our ability to grow natural organic foods and be completely dependent on corporations such as Monsanto. And that's one of the major reasons why it's so essential to stop these programs, because once they take their power, they will not give it back. So collectively, as human beings, we have to address this. We have to quit sponsoring them, supporting them, purchasing their food, and playing their game. And when we all stand up, when we collectively stand up and say we will not support this type of tyranny, we are standing up for our right to live, and we're standing up for natural systems, then we will reclaim our planet. And that's what we're doing. And this film is just, God, why in the world are they spraying? It's taken off. It's been very successful in helping people to understand really what's going on. But I can honestly assure you, based on our research and those who have researched this on a regular basis, there has been no greater threat on the planet and to the planet. So it's essential that we address this and that we get people activated. We actually encourage people who purchase a DVD to make copies and hand out for free. As a result, we have communities around the world where people are handing out DVDs of the first film, and now, thank God, the second film, which has been much more professionally done. And you can find orders at whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com. International mailing is just, I believe, $6, so it's very inexpensive to get your copy. But again, please make copies and get the word out.
Yes, Michael. Michael, how old are you?
I am 42 years old.
Yeah, you sound very young. And I must say that it's interesting that because of the information that's available now, people get aware. And I must say it's a great accomplishment what you did with this documentary. And when did you first become aware of the geoengineering / chemtrail situation?
You know, it wasn't too long ago. It was probably about 4 years ago, but it was a process. I lived in Arizona, which is in the desert, and I went to college there back in the late 80s. And when I went there, I moved from Chicago, which had a lot of weather and it had a lot of clouds, but I remember the deep blue skies that we had in Arizona, and there was rarely a blemish, you know, and even rarely clouds. It used to be called the Valley of the Sun. And, you know, maybe occasionally a winter storm would come in, or we would get monsoon storms, and that's when you would see stuff in the atmosphere. But I left for a couple of years, and I came back just after the year of 2000, and I started noticing what looked like cirrus clouds, looked like high clouds in the sky. So I knew that something had changed, but I wasn't aware of what it was. And honestly, the first person that told me that airplanes were spraying chemicals into the sky to create artificial clouds, I thought that that person was really crazy. It wasn't until I started looking into this. And in 2010, I went to a geoengineering conference, and I listened to the scientists and geoengineers again talk about their plans and their proposals to spray 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum into our skies. They spoke about the consequences, which is, again, everything that we're seeing. It's disrupted weather patterns, drought conditions, pH changes of our soil. They even state that it will affect food supplies. They state if we start these programs, which they definitely have, they said it could disrupt the food supply of over 2 billion people, and that's what we're seeing this summer. Through the destruction due to our droughts and our floods worldwide. So, again, kind of a long answer to the question, but I've been involved with this issue for about 4 years. I've been working at it nonstop because, again, I believe that that our life, literally all life on the planet, is threatened, and there's been no greater threat to our planet other than nuclear fallout.
Yeah, I must agree with you, and I haven't seen the film myself, but I will order it, and that I can assure you of. But I think that the documentary must be very well put together and is categorized in different subjects. So what are the most important, or the chapters from the DVD, the subjects that you talk about related to chemtrails?
Sure. Well, the first one's just a review, you know, the first chapter, and it's about geoengineers' plans and proposals, and what we're finding in the rain. And again, that's massive amounts of aluminum, barium, and strontium, which is destroying our ecosystems and human health around the world. So we cover that, but you know, the exciting part was investigating how chemtrails and geoengineering is related to weather control. So we interviewed a weatherman. He was for 20 years, Scott Stevens was a weatherman, and he started investigating this and explained how the aerosols were related to weather control. We also interviewed Dr. Nick Begich, and he is he's a world-renowned expert on HAARP, the High Active Auroral Research Program, which is used, it's actually an ionospheric heater, and it's used for many things, but it can also be used to in conjunction with the trails to control our weather. We interviewed a former defense contractor, Mark McCandlish, who worked in many different facets with in developing and designing concepts for different airplanes. So it was a very scientific film. We interviewed Francis Mangles, who is a biologist, and really looked at the financial applications, the genetic modification, and the military applications for these programs. So this has been, the first film was considered to be the first credible documentary, very well put together, and we used it as activism. We used it to create ordinances to wake up a lot of politicians at a number of different levels. This documentary has had much greater reviews than the first film, and it's expected to really bring about the change that we want, and that's moving closer to getting these programs stopped.
Yeah, that's very, very good. And the purpose, of course, is to get as many people to see the movie as possible. So what can people do to in their communities to get people together and set up a beamer or a projector and see the movie together? Are there ideas you have about that?
Oh, there are, yeah, and we actually encourage it, and there are people around the world now organizing screenings for Why in the World Are They Spraying, and we actually have a section on our website where you can download a poster, and we have some ideas about getting people together, but that's a wonderful idea, and I really encourage it. So you can find more info under our screening section on the website, which is whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com.
Yes, and it would of course be very. It would have a very big impact if your film could be displayed in major cinemas, in theaters, in around the world.
Yes.
Are there ways that you can get there to accomplish
there
that?
There are, and we have people looking into that right now. And to qualify for an Academy Award, it requires that the film be played in a cinema in both New York and Los Angeles. So, again, we have people looking into that, helping us out with that. And the goal that we have for that is really to get as many people aware of these programs. And when you have critical mass, when the masses become aware of this, that is when the programs will stop. Geoengineers were very concerned about people who had vast knowledge of these programs, as stated in some of their meetings, and they said, we're concerned about people who are aware of these programs because they are the most likely people to stand up and protest. So again, we have to get people aware of these programs, and once we do, that's when you had mentioned earlier in the broadcast that, you know, are people starting lawsuits? We do have certain individuals around the world who now have started implementing lawsuits. But the more people that are aware of this, the more lawsuits we will have, the more information coming forward. And we also really want to reach out to those who are in our military and the corporations involved with this, because I think a lot of the people, like the pilots and people at the lower levels of these programs, probably have no idea how much damage they're causing on our planet. And I'm sure they have no idea that this is not about helping the planet, but it's really an ability to consolidate an enormous amount of monetary and political power into the hands of a few, really at the expense of everything. So once the pilots find out that what they're doing is leading perhaps to their children's asthma, their parents' Alzheimer's, and the destruction of our forests and crops, I think a lot of them will start coming forward. not only in bringing more information out, but stopping and saying, you know, I'm not going to participate in these programs.
Yeah, what I heard today from a gentleman is that some commercial airlines are also spraying, and there are also unmanned vehicles that are spraying. Do you have any information about that?
Well, I think there are a lot of different corporations involved, so there are a lot of different different airplanes and different companies involved in different methods for getting the aerosols into our sky, and geoengineers even spoke about using boats to disperse aerosols. We now regularly are seeing coverage of our oceans, you know, of aerosols. And then there's a different method, which appears to be a bomb. You know, it's a disbursement of these aerosols that literally is not sprayed from airplanes, but looks like it's dropped from flares. There are patents for that. So there are, again, a number of different methods and ways and means to get these aerosols into our sky. We do know that they want aerosols in the sky at all times. So they use all of these methods to achieve their goals.
Yeah, I think they're unstoppable, but I think when the masses wake up, we'll have a huge revolution.
Yes.
And what can you tell us about HAARP and how chemtrails or geoengineering, how it interrelates with HAARP? The High Oral Active Research Project.
Right. We interviewed Dr. Nick Begich, and he's known to be the number one expert in HAARP. So he actually stated that aerosols were not required for HAARP to use, but they will accentuate the HAARP program. So having metals in our sky will interact and make a more powerful signal and be more effective for heating up parts of our ionosphere. So it's definitely related to weather control. But in terms of building clouds and even breaking clouds up, different aerosols have the ability to do that. So sometimes we see, you know, aerosols that are sprayed into the sky, very short bursts, and eventually they'll turn into clouds. So moisture attracts onto those types of aerosols, and it will build clouds. But like I was talking about earlier in the broadcast, in the summer when I was in the middle of the country in the United States, we saw them put some type of aerosol into the clouds, and the clouds were falling apart, and that moisture was drifting. So we see that quite a bit as well.
Yeah, it's truly amazing. And but I think, you know, because the film that you have put together, people are waking up worldwide also because of the Internet. And I really see that on my Facebook page or when I look at some websites, that people from all kinds of parts of the world are now aware of chemtrails, and that's really very good.
Yes, yeah. And it's growing, and that's why we encourage people to take our films, post them, put them on your social networking, Facebook, also out to your email list. And the Internet has been a very powerful avenue for us. So we encourage, though, because we can, but purchasing and supporting our work in that capacity allows us to move forward with other projects. One of my goals is to make a television commercial that can be aired around the world that addresses this issue. So if you look at the quality of my work, it's very professional. I live here very close to Hollywood and work with people only from Hollywood who have the professional skills to put this together, and it's very important to gain the interest of people and the public. They need that professional touch. So, again, supporting our work helps us to address this, and we'll move quicker in getting these programs stopped. Why in the world are they spraying.com is the website. Again, you can learn all about the film, see the movie trailer, and get your copy today.
Oh, that's very good. About the commercial that you can create, you can put it on the mainstream television.
Well, that's exactly what it's for. So we'd like to produce that and then have that commercial available to people around the world who can sponsor that commercial and use it. And it will be one of the fastest ways to reach a market that is largely unaware. A lot of people who watch television and are watching the mainstream media are not aware of this issue, because the very corporations that benefit are really a lot of the corporations that pay for the television commercials. So they're not going to be airing this. And that's where our responsibility comes in. Those of us who are aware of this, we need to support this message in some way.
It's interesting that because the television is still a tool for brainwashing and dumping down the people of their consciousness. But at the other hand, we now have a political party in the Netherlands, we have created a kind of television commercial for our party, where we also speak about UFOs and chemtrails. Mm-hmm. And it has been on the public television, and it has an amazing effect. We are getting a lot of reactions now. So I can tell you that when you create a commercial for your film, mm-hmm. that it will have a very deep impact.
Yes, I'm aware of that. And the chemtrail geoengineering issue, again, many people are noticing the weather is changing. We have the answer to that. They're noticing that the sky is changing. We have the answer to why these things are happening. So it's a message. Again, a couple of years ago, people thought it was a very crazy idea, including myself when I first came to this issue. It just seemed like it was crazy, but now the more that I look at this and the more I become aware, it absolutely is an issue, and it's something that needs to be stopped because our planet is in a real crisis. It's in a real crisis, and we have to stop these programs really quickly. So, again, getting this out to your email list, Facebook, and then television commercials will help quite a bit as well.
Yes, my friend. And then I have another question. What are ETs doing with this? I mean, do you believe in the existence and the presence of extraterrestrials and that they are benevolent and that they could help us in any way to solve this whole issue of geoengineering?
Oh, I have very strong feelings about what you just spoke about. But again, I have a worldwide audience right now and have been attacked in many different ways for expressing my views. So I really stick with the geoengineering part of this. And right now, we're trying to wake people up that may find it very hard to believe that airplanes are even spraying chemicals out of the back. So that's where the market is right now. But I hope that, you know, someday we can get into some of the greater depths of this, because I think they merit research. But I've stayed out of certain areas for that sole purpose. So right now we're sticking with the geoengineering.
Okay, of course, because, I know that people that are interested in UFOs or extraterrestrials can be radicalized. So I'm there with...
Absolutely. And what I learned, you know, I was an educator, I was a teacher, and there are many truths out there. And our job as activists at this point is not our job. We have to be very careful, and we have to use something that's called prudency. And what I mean by prudency is saying the right thing at the right time. And I've seen activists go out and into the streets and tell people who were unaware of the chemtrail issue everything that they knew about chemtrails. And largely, it pushed people away and did more damage. So what I think the key to this is, and where we found success, is not going out and telling everybody everything that we know about chemtrails, but telling our audience the right amount of truth to get them to look into this and start investigating. And for some cases, it's just making some simple statements. And that's what we really want to do, is encourage people to start looking into this and having an open mind, because we are dealing with people who, as you have stated, have been dumbed down by the TV, who really have been closed-minded. They've been put in the box. And I learned as an educator, as a teacher, you know, I learned this principle of mathematics, and I taught from third grade all the way up to eighth grade. And while eighth graders, I could teach algebra, you know, a little bit of algebra, which is complete truth, and it's 100% knowledge. And the eighth graders received it, and there was good dialogue, and they were able to get it. If I brought that same truth into the third grade classroom, I lost the third graders, and they weren't able to get it, and they started misbehaving, and they wanted nothing to do with it. Again, so through that process, I learned the importance of knowing who your audience is, where your audience is at, and speaking the right amount of truth that they will, A, get this, and then, B, start investigating it. So I can't stress the importance of using the issue of prudency when addressing this issue.
Yeah,
and I think we're going
to
see.
So you want to build it up step by step and give them a drop every time, a drop of more information until they reach full knowledge.
And that's what we want to do. We want to eventually bring people up to 100% knowledge because we have this awakening, we have this consciousness that's occurring in the world, and it's a beautiful thing. But it definitely, all of us who have come to these deeper and greater knowledges have had a starting point where we learned, and we grow hopefully every day, and we get to these points of greater consciousness. But we have to be aware of those who have not been introduced to this and where they're at, and we have to teach them at the levels that they're at.
Yes, and of course there are some people who already have more knowledge, but that I think is unfortunately still a small group.
It's still a small group, but it's growing, and that's the amazing thing. We get to see, you know, we get to see people at all different levels, and there is this consciousness that is occurring everywhere around the world, and that's a beautiful thing. And if you look back just 5-6 years ago, people were ridiculed for discussing the issue of chemtrails, which is very real, it's very scientific, and it still occurs a little bit, but not much. You know, it's being accepted. And now we're starting to get into some of the deeper truths about this, the Morgellons, you know, the other issues, and we can start to have that dialogue, and I think it's really important. And I do think it's important to address, you know, all of these deeper levels. But again, I think that there's a prudent time to do that. That time is coming soon.
Yes, I believe so. It's time for a big revelation.
Yes.
And one step is, of course, one big important step is your film. What in the world are they spraying? So, Michael, we have 5 minutes left or 4 minutes left before we have to end the show. So I would like to give you these 4 minutes to share with the listeners, with the audience, anything important that you think is of crucial importance to share with the audience that we haven't discussed yet and that haven't asked about. So please go ahead.
Sure. Well, I think the most important thing is some of the stuff that we talk about can be very fearful because these are very toxic programs, and it really is the end of natural life on this planet if we allow them to continue. So I wanted to just address the importance of not addressing this in fear, but addressing this in faith believing that collectively we as human beings can stand up and get these programs stopped. There's, I think the biggest lie that we have been told is that we don't have any power. And as an activist, number one, and somebody who addresses this on a daily basis, occasionally somebody will say, you know, we don't have the ability to stop this, or they're too powerful. And again, that's a lie from the pit of hell. And that's the reason that these entities use deception. Because when we realize, when we come to the realization that we as human beings have an incredible amount of power, we have an incredible amount of authority, when we exercise it, they know it's the end of their game. And that day is coming. People are beginning to wake up, and the power of the spoken word. They have, the people behind these programs have weapons, they control the media, they have a lot of power. But we have something that's much more powerful, and that's the power of the spoken word when it's in truth and integrity. And that's what they're afraid of, and that is our weapon. And that weapon has to use
the spoken word, and then we get organized also together.
And
we can organize large groups and take big courts, you know.
Absolutely.
Find information. Work together with different groups.
That's right. And here in many places around the United States, we have local groups that are getting together to address this. We hit the streets and we hand out free DVDs. I've handed out thousands of free DVDs of my movie, and it's been a very effective way to wake up my community and other communities around the country. I travel, I speak a lot, and we have ordinances now that have been started. And when we screen the film, when we get together as a community, I have seen some groups that have been birthed, and I have seen the starting ordinances again around the world. So I can't stress the importance of getting the film and screening it, and then getting together locally and deciding what steps you want to take in moving forward to getting these programs stopped. So again, pretty big programs. Disasters are happening, but again, there are miracles that are happening as well, and they're happening through us. Miracles happen when we move forward in addressing this. So it's just an incredible time, and we have, I think, an obligation once we become aware of the potential of these programs. We have an obligation to address it, but it's also an opportunity because this system that has developed has been developing for thousands of years, and it's a very deep, dark system. And these programs are the end game of these the entities behind this. And people are waking up, so we have an incredible opportunity to stop this process and restore our fragile planet. And we're the last generation. We are the ones that have been called to do this. So what a glorious and beautiful time to be alive. And you and I and the rest of the listeners who are willing to step forward will be a part of this incredible shift and incredible restoration of our beautiful planet. It's an incredible thing.
Well, it's really incredible, and it's really... I want to tell you my congratulations with your project, and I hope it will become more and more successful, so to wake people up and to make the shift together. And I want to thank you to be on the show. It went by really quick because you shared so much valuable information. So thank you, Michael, and I wish you all luck.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you addressing this. Keep up the great work. Keep on getting the word out, and God bless you. Why in the world are they spraying.com is the website, and thanks again.
Thanks again, Michael. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.